The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, taping this live from the BS Report studio, although you will not hear it live. I am here with my buddy Joe House,
who's
co-hosting the pod on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline on a Monday afternoon. Our friend, who's a little happy because the Cowboys won this week, and suddenly Tony Romo is looking at a historic season. Cousin Sal, what's happening?
There's no suddenly about it. I've been telling you this for a month now. You don't want to listen. You just make your Romo jokes and Romo's dead and all this, but this is the guy. He's going to take us to the promised land.
This is the guy, except for the part that if you lose next week, there's a chance that the 8-8 Eagles will be hosting a playoff game in round one.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. Yeah. Do that.
Let's talk about week 15 quickly. House, I'll ask you first and then Sal. Biggest fraud of Sunday. There were three candidates, the Giants, Jets, and Ravens.
Giants, Jets, and Ravens. What about the Tennessee Titans playing for their playoff lives?
I forgot about the Titans.
That's the Joe House fantasy fraud, professional fraud.
Oh, because Chris Johnson killed you. Yeah.
Fraud of 2012, Tennessee Titans.
All right. Sal, fraud of the day.
I'm going to say the fraud of the day was Joe House himself. I mean, I brought a plate of sausage and peppers over to greet our friend Mike Lombardi, and House devoured it. I think he ate the plastic cutlery and everything.
Yeah, he did.
It took about 25 seconds, so I would say him and the Ravens scared me a little bit.
Yeah, and you'd already had two chicken kebab plates with hummus, rice, and peppers, and then you also had a spanakopita.
There's nothing fraudulent about the sausages and peppers. That's reality, baby.
House is really testing out these high-quality sound mics.
He loves it.
Yeah, high-tech.
Sal, biggest fraud of the day for you yesterday other than Joe House?
Well, what were my choices again?
Ravens, Titans, Jets, Giants.
I think the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was a disgusting effort. You know, it was really everything you're looking for from a team that wanted to roll over on a Sunday night. They, you know, no intensity at all defensively. Joe Flacco mailing. End of the first half, Rivers gets a first down on, like, what was it, like the 2-yard line, minute 54 left?
Yeah.
No timeouts. Just, hey, all right, score, and then we won't have any time to get the ball back. I mean, they basically gave up. It was televised.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
And I'm also sick of guys talking about the teams without an identity. It makes no sense. We laugh about it. But
yeah.
I don't know what to make of this Ravens team. They come up, well, how many sacks did they have against the Niners? Like a dozen? And then nothing yesterday, Ray Lewis's return. You could always count on them to be tough in December and January, and they showed nothing like that, and they're going to be playing a road playoff game, I think.
Yeah, and I have a note for Ray Lewis. I might want to cool it down with huddling everybody and having the impassioned speeches when your team then rolls over and loses by 24 on national TV.
Yeah.
Cut it back next week, Ray.
All right. Say it to his face. This is my note to you.
That's made for TV now anyway. I bet he doesn't even want to do it. They probably make him. They probably pay him for it.
Yeah, it's true.
We were excited yesterday. Ray Lewis had a face mask penalty that didn't call, and House and I were saying that he was acquitted of the 15-yard penalty, the face mask penalty. Those jokes never get old with Ray Lewis, and I won't be saying those to his face either.
Yeah, another crime he got away with.
The Chiefs beat the Packers yesterday in what really was like a legitimate win. I didn't feel like it was fluky, stupid, dumb turnovers. Like, it actually seemed like they beat the Packers, and now who do you have as the number one team now?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I look at it exactly different. I really do, and it's probably because I had the Packers on the money line parlay. I'm not going to lie to you. But didn't it seem, you don't like to say it was a fixed game, but drop passes, you know, Jordy Nelson, two pass interference calls.
Mm.
You know, I want to give the Chiefs credit, but do I really believe the players came to life for Romeo Crennel? He's 25 and 40. Like, you know what you're getting with Romeo Crennel. And
right.
Mike McCarthy not throwing that challenge flag when he could have. It's really like they were holding back. I saw, like, Rodgers was about to get sacked. He had an open receiver, like easily could have thrown it away a couple times. That was a weird, weird game to me. But seriously, I think the Packers are in a little bit of trouble with this offensive line going down like they did.
Well, it does seem like they've had too many injuries now, which at least opens the door. And then, you know, we say this every year. It's all about who's peaking going into the playoffs. Usually around week 15, you have an idea who's who. And this year, you know, I don't know what to make of anything. The Pats, their Pats offense looks fantastic. Defense, why are you making a face, Joe House?
They
score 40 points a week. What are you making a face for?
We go right from kind of, you know, is this a telling moment for the Packers? And now we're talking about the Patriots in connection with the
I know. I mean,
well,
great. I'm making a lot of faces on this. You can't see me live. It's all about an hour's worth of faces.
I'm just looking at what we know. And what we know is the Pats have a great offense. The Saints have a great offense. It seems like the Packers had a great offense and probably still do, but we don't know because they're banged up. And then what else do we like? I mean, Pittsburgh's pretty banged up.
Well, I know there's more to football than just airing it out. And but the Saints, if they don't have to play on the grass, you know, in January, they're really going to be tough. And I'll do you one better. I think we talked about it a little yesterday. I think the NFC team is going to emerge in the Super Bowl. I don't know who stays with them in Indy on the turf, like. Whether it's Green Bay or New Orleans, what do you think the line is? Or there's already a line, obviously, for NFC AFC. What would you say it is?
I would say it's NFC by at least three, maybe 3.5.
How much you want to guess?
Yeah, I was going to guess 7. Honestly,
it might get to 7, but it's 4.5 right now without even knowing who's playing. So.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. I actually think the Pats would be good on turf, and I think the Steelers would be good on turf because they can throw the ball if Roethlisberger's healthy.
The Pats, of course, could score, but on turf, how many points are you going to give up? Now you have Carter's injured. It's going to be rough for you, I think.
More improbable, the fact that the Eagles might be hosting a round one playoff game, or the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs might be hosting a round one playoff game. It's possible that they can do it. I think Buffalo has to beat Denver. The Chiefs have to win, and then the Chiefs play the Broncos the next week.
They're both improbable and impossible.
The Chiefs could happen, though.
The Chiefs would be an astounding thing.
I couldn't believe they were 6-8. And where was I for the 6 wins? I would have had them at like 4-10.
Right.
That was crazy. A lot of teases went down in flames yesterday, Sal. I would say yesterday was the biggest mess of a gambling day that we've had.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been hard to stay away from all the Giants, the Packers. There was like 4 teams that killed you even early, right? Giants, Packers, out of Tennessee went down. That was supposed to be easy.
Hey, that brings us to our annual tradition. This is the 5th year we've guessed the line with Sal. And every year when we're doing the Week 16 podcast, I remind Sal that next year we should bet all the Moneyline underdogs in Week 15. And we never do. So let's keep that going again next year and not do it again.
For this week?
No, for next year in Week 15.
Oh,
just make sure we totally forget about that. And also make sure that we do a bunch of Moneyline and two-team teasers and forget the lessons of every Week 15.
Yeah, I'm up for that, for sure.
Year after year, it happens. Oh, one more weird stat for you. Maybe not weird, maybe weird, I don't know. But the home teams have been pretty good this year till the last 4 weeks. Last 4 weeks, home teams, 23-37 against the spread.
Wow.
In week 15, they were 4-10-1 against the spread. And, you know, part of that maybe has to do with the fact that it's colder. Maybe fans make less noise. I don't know. Maybe the lines have swung too far the other way. I don't know. But that's pretty significant.
Well, the colder and less noise could be a fact. I mean, if you take Buffalo out of there, that's almost even because they can't win at all at home or anywhere anymore.
How about the Giants? We knew the whole week that this was a classic Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin. We're favored by too many points. This game looks too easy. We got a big game next week. We're going to roll over. And I actually predicted that it was so obvious that they weren't going to roll over. But then they said, no, screw you, Simmons. We're going to roll over. You watch this. We're going to fall down 23-3, even though Rex threw 2 first quarter interceptions.
There's no question it was a world-class rollover, but equally frustrating thing for me as a Redskins fan, this Redskins team is really kind of hitting its stride at exactly the wrong time when it's completely irrelevant and it's time for us to play ourselves out of one of the high draft picks.
Yeah.
But the frustrating thing is, where was this team all season? This is a team where the NFC East is going to be taken by an 8-8 or 9-7 team,
yeah,
and the Washington Redskins should be in that discussion.
They should, and not only that, but how many John Beck starts were there?
There were at least 2 starts.
There
and we might have played in 3.
I'm gonna say 3.
Yeah.
Shanahan needs to take a lot more blame for this team than he does.
And Roy Halew, who's good.
Yeah.
I can't say his name, but he's good.
They're winning in spite of him, really.
Yeah.
He set them up for failure. They had a month where they just were not going to win any games with the team he put
out. Shanahan was so desperate to tank this season for a draft pick that after the John Beck thing didn't work out, he made brownies for Fred Davis and Trent Williams and told them they were just normal brownies and they were marijuana brownies.
No, he was doing that.
I'm breaking that story.
That was August and September.
Oh, that's what he did that?
Yeah, he started that way back when.
Trent, my wife made you some brownies.
Once a week.
Celebration. Yeah.
Well, now, Peter King in his column today, he had the Redskins maybe getting the fourth best quarterback, Landry Jones.
Landry Jones, but that's if they don't trade for Peyton Manning. You think that's too far off the radar?
Nothing would make me happier than Peyton Manning. No, they said his neck is totally stabilized now.
He's going to San Francisco. That's where he belongs.
He's got his neck.
That's the best team for him.
They said his neck is stabilized.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I can't tell if House is crying out from pain over the trade or if it's the indigestion from the sausage and peppers.
No. You know what's funny is that within 3 days of the Peyton Manning trade, House will be 100% in and probably even own a t-shirt jersey.
Yeah, of course.
He's one of the best five quarterbacks of all time. You're going to kick him off your team? You started John Beck for 3 games. You have Rex Grossman.
Look, we had Donovan McNabb after he went to the NFC title game for 8 consecutive years.
Yeah. But at least, unlike McNabb, Manning won't be out of shape and have to grow a beard to cover how fat he is.
He's easily one of the top 3 Mannings right now. Lock it in.
So, Sal, one more thing. We were talking yesterday watching football about... make your case for Romo as a Pro Bowl quarterback over Eli Manning. It's a pretty good case. I couldn't refute it.
You know what? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but oh boy.
What?
I don't know. They just go by numbers, right? These Pro Bowlers. That's all it is. It's not like you can win a Super Bowl during the regular season. So, you know, he's had 7 straight weeks where he's done nothing but good down the stretch here, Romo. I can pull it up, but I don't know. Wait, let me see.
Well, you don't have a ton at stake other than that he's your quarterback and your son's middle name is Romo. But so it's not like you're totally biased. But I agree with you. I think Eli's best game has been better than Romo. But I think for the course of the season, when you think of how many bad Giants losses there's been, how many games have the Giants lost this year where they were favored by 6 points or more? Like at least 3, maybe 4.
And Eli loads up garbage yards from being behind so early. Yesterday was reminiscent. 25-15, 25 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Romo 29-9.
Wow.
Yeah, the interesting thing, I think, is Romo, all of the attention to Romo at the beginning of the season and his single-handedly, you know, by all appearances, snatching defeat from victory.
Right.
Eli's had a couple of those, too. That Seattle game was all Eli.
San Fran, too. They're driving down the touchdown.
Seattle, it's hard to believe, have the same record. They're both 7-7.
Yeah, this is a really messed up year. And I think for the round one playoff games, there's going to be a couple bizarre matchups.
Well, here's what I'm worried about in round one. Like, I hate the Niners right now, and I hate the Lions. Like, I'm dying to bet against them. And that's looking like it's going to be around. We're going to have to bet against both of them, and they're going to play each other. I don't know how we're going to work that out.
Yeah, we're going to have multiple games where we're dying to bet against both teams, and they're going to be playing each other.
Yeah.
I think you look at Baltimore, and they're going to be on the road in round one now, it looks like, actually, Pittsburgh could lose. Maybe they haven't. I guess that's still up in the air. But let's say Baltimore is the 5 seed. They go to Denver in round one, and Baltimore is just a fraud on the road.
Yeah.
Then you look at Tebow versus Flacco. Like, if you're betting your life on that game, would you really bet on Joe Flacco over our savior, Tim Tebow?
And I screamed about it a couple weeks ago. I said, they're going to win that game 36-6, that very game. I said, Ravens at Denver.
Yeah.
All the Tebow stuff will go away, but I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you know, the other 6-3, you know, I'm keep looking at, like, Cincinnati. I'm like, I want this team to go away, and the Jets aren't going to do anything, but these teams are going to Houston for the 6-3 matchup. They could win.
Yeah, Cincinnati could definitely win in Houston.
Yeah.
All I know is if Joe Flacco keeps that mustache, the Ravens are out.
Joe has pointed out last night that Joe Flacco grew the Johnny Cakes mustache from The Sopranos. It's the exact same mustache. That's not a good sign for the Ravens season.
I think you automatically play like Charlie Whitehurst once you get a little
older. Seth, let's talk Tebow quickly.
Yeah.
It was funny. Yesterday, they got killed and everybody was going nuts trying to not blame Tebow for it because he didn't play bad. Their defense lost the game. It does feel like he's getting better, but their defense really stunk in that game. It made me think like any decent team should be able to beat them in round one.
Well, first of all, what a surprise, and we talked about this. What a surprise God was pulling for the quarterback who bangs a supermodel wife every night. Yeah. That was hard to figure out.
Yeah.
Whose side God is.
God made a strong point.
Yeah. But I think the Patriots nobody has an answer for those tight ends. You hear about, like, the Broncos linebackers and what they do. It doesn't matter. If you have to cover Gronkowski, who really didn't even do much yesterday, and Aaron Hernandez, like, that just screws everything up. I don't think you can prepare for that in a week.
I totally agree with that. I think that's exactly why Denver looks so bad.
Yeah.
New England's been making good defenses look bad all season.
So why'd you make a poo-poo face when I said earlier that New England had a great offense? You didn't want to hear it.
They do have a great offense, but I'm not. We were talking about the top team in the whole NFL.
I'm going to go further. I think they have a better offense than they did in 2007, and the stats back me up. Football Outsiders wrote it last week that they had here's the thing about 07 that everybody forgets. It was a 10-week run for that team. Because then Sammy Morris got hurt, the team started to wear down. Their offense in the last month or so of the season, plus the playoffs, was not the same offense it was, the team that was winning 56-10 in those games. And I think this Patriots offense, it can run the ball better. It's got the two tight end thing. I just think they're better.
Well, it's radically different because of the lack of the vertical threat. I mean, I'm not going to try and talk technical football, but the longest pass that we saw Brady throw yesterday was down the sideline to Hernandez. It was an incompletion.
Right, but they have the tight ends now. I mean, it's a different weapon, but I would argue that it's probably better suited for January and February than just running Moss downfield.
It would be nice if you had a running back. It would be a little bit...
Running game's not bad, though. They run the ball for over 4 yards a game. That was the thing in 07. Once Morris got hurt, it was like just nobody's running the football. We couldn't run the football anymore.
Can I say something else about 07?
Yeah.
It's a weird year. Like, I looked it up because I was about to go off on Romeo Crennel, how bad he was. Romeo Crennel was 10-6 with the Browns.
I don't remember that. I don't even know. Was it Derek Anderson?
They won a division? Did we not watch football that year? I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I made fun. I compared Romeo... I made jokes about him in Friday's column and talked about how excited I was to gamble against him and stuff. And got some emails from some Browns fans who were like, look, I know we suck and we're a joke and I hate sports and there's no God. But I just want to point out Romeo had a couple moments for us. And I was like, all right, fair enough. 10-6, I guess. That counts as a moment.
I take 10-6.
Yeah, you take for the Redskins.
Believe me.
So one more thing I want to ask you. The Cowboys have only won one playoff game since 1997.
Yeah, that I know.
That's kind of incredible.
But it was against the Eagles. Now I know. What do you want me to say?
I can't believe it's 15 years.
What's incredible about it?
They're not 40% of your life. They haven't won a playoff game. It's like they've spent more money than like every team but three teams. Like nobody ever looks at Jerry Jones and goes, wow, maybe that guy doesn't totally know what's going on.
Look, I know. It's awful. Don't you hear me call in every week?
All right, I forgot.
I'm crazy about how bad we are and everybody. Dude, listen, talk to me in 2019.
All right. I totally forgot. Okay. Let's do the week 16 picks. And is there weirdness this week?
A lot of weirdness. There's a Thursday game, and then most of the other games are Saturday, Christmas Eve day.
And then Sunday and Monday.
And then one Sunday, which is Christmas Day Eve, and then the night, Christmas Day night, and then Monday, right. So Thursday's Houston at Indianapolis.
And just let me say that nobody is more fired up that the Bears season collapsed than the NBA and the Packers season. Because if you were looking at Packers going undefeated against a Bears team and Cutler, that was going to be the best game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Going against like two NBA games. And now it's like that NBA owns that day now.
They deserve it, the NBA. The way they handle things, I'm glad things are working out.
Yeah, thank God. when you said earlier that you thought the Packers season, that Packers might have fixed that game to Echo, I was going to make a joke about how that's ridiculous. No professional sport would fix anything except for the NBA fixing the three-team trade to send Chris Paul to the Clippers. But anyway, all right, so Thursday night, who do we have?
Houston and Indianapolis.
What do we make of Indianapolis? Are they not, they're no longer horrendous?
I think they screwed up a little. Are they locked into that one? pick, that
yes.
first pick?
They're locked
yeah,
in.
It would a lot of weird stuff would have to happen, unfortunately.
Well, hold on. Minnesota would have to not win a game? Is that what is going to happen? I mean, this is a winnable game for the Colts, I think, all of a sudden.
Yeah, it is a winnable game.
They only have the one
Minnesota's
win, right?
2-12, and St. Louis is 2-12.
Peter King had it in his column today. It was something like, if it's a three-way tie, Indianapolis wins no matter what. If St. Louis somehow wins once, and then it's Indianapolis versus Minnesota, it's not inconceivable that they could blow that pick.
Yeah.
They what they're going to do is they're going to just keep giving Jim Caldwell votes of confidence.
That must be it. Yeah.
Over and over for the next 2 weeks until the players lose their will to live. I have this line in the Vegas zone. We're going to let Joe House pick today, too.
Oh, no.
I have this line in the Vegas zone. I had the Texans by 4.5 at Indianapolis. Joe House?
I'm relieved by that because I was thinking something right around in there, like at 4. I'm going to stick with 4. I like 4, but I'm completely out of my depth, and I'm prepared to go 0-16.
Right. Well, you could just do quick picks.
But I like 4.
Okay. What is it, Sal?
All right. Simmons, you were closest out of the three of us. I said 7.5. I thought it would be way higher. It's only 6. So being 1.5 off.
No, we tied
it. We tied it. Okay. All right.
6, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a lot of points for I don't want to totally turn on T.J. Yates, but without Andre Johnson, they just can't throw the ball. It was like, remember that graphic they showed at one point and the leading target? It was like the fourth quarter, and they showed the targets for the Texans.
Yeah,
and
right.
The leading target was Vickers, the fullback. It's like, that's not good. Second leading target was Joel Dreesen, the backup tight end.
They were entitled to one little letdown game. They won the division. It was a historical moment in the franchise history.
True. Fair point.
Well, right. T.J. Yates, I don't know. I mean, after seeing the team play last night, his parents asked for worse seats than he actually had 2 weeks ago. they're happy listening on a transistor radio in Spanish. They're done. All right, now we go to Saturday. Cleveland at Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. This looks like the classic Ravens blowout, a crappy team at home, and then everybody claims they've righted the ship, and we all know they haven't. I'm going to say Ravens by 13 points at home against Cleveland. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought 9.
All right.
Wow. All right. I said 13 also, and they're going even higher, 14.5.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't belong at the table.
The Ravens are really two different. Well, Joe, you represent the common man here. Sal and I are professionals. We've been doing this forever. It's nice to get a voice here of somebody that thinks like our average listener.
Good.
I might actually come in second, and there'll be three people. So
yeah.
Good.
The Ravens are great at home, terrible on the road. I think we can officially pigeonhole them with that statement.
I think they killed Cleveland a couple weeks back, right? I think we both had them on three-team teases. They have their number.
We had a nice little argument with Mike Lombardi yesterday about Colt McCoy, whether he's a starter or not. And Lombardi and I are on the same side, career backup.
Yeah. Boy, can that guy use the F word? Who would have known?
Oh, my God.
He thinks he's auditioning for
it's unbelievable. He didn't. It was terrible. He flipped over a table at one point. It's just nasty side to that guy.
Anyway. I was a little worried about eating his whole sausage and pepper sandwich, but
yeah. Well, he'd already eaten, so he was happy. Yeah.
That was a ballsy move. I thought he was going to take his belt off and start whipping you a la Tony Soprano. Minnesota at Washington. There you go, House.
Yeah, there it is, House. I have this in the Vegas zone, too. I have the Redskins by 5.5 points at home against Minnesota.
I'm going to say 5.
All right. I think it's a little
higher. House and I said 5. Simmons says 5.5. It's 6. So, Simmons, you get it. You're
a ooh. Boy, don't let me tease them.
No.
Please. Please don't let me do it.
It's a tough one to watch. I think Washington. What do you think, House? They probably don't try too hard for this one. Right?
No, I think they are going to try.
Yeah, I think they try.
Yeah, this is one of these deals where now it looks like they're going to try and play hard, play it all the way out, and try and create some momentum for next season and make everybody forget that they're going to have Rex Grossman start at quarterback again in 2012.
No, you're not. You're going to have the fourth best rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but Grossman's going to start.
Andrew
they're
Jones.
Not going to let that guy play.
Yeah.
All right, Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Oh. You know, I knew I was going to get killed on my picks this week, and I did. I have to apologize for the Thursday pick that I put like 2 seconds of research in. I picked the Jaguars to cover at the Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, the three receivers that they started in that, or the three main receivers in that game combined with their terrified quarterback, I think that might have been my worst pick ever.
And who was it? Dunta Robinson, who said they suck?
Dunta Robinson called him out, and nobody was like, wow, that was uncalled for. People were like, yeah, Yeah, he's
in your defense, I think Jacksonville beat up on Tampa the week before, and we just didn't know how bad Tampa was. I mean, Tampa.
No, they're really terrible.
Tampa and the Rams, I think, are worse than the Colts right now.
Yeah, Gabbert, though, something really wrong there.
Yeah.
Like, really gets scared. Like, that just does not hang in the pocket, and it's I don't have a good feeling about that. And the Tebow thing continues to haunt that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They could have taken our Lord Savior, Tim Tebow.
Sure they could have.
I know. Anyway, I have the Titans giving 7.5 points to the Jaguars.
House, what do you think?
I like the Titans by 9.
Mm.
You know, I said 7. Simmons, you get it, you bastard. 7.5 it is. Exactly. 7.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's not tease that one either.
I think House might be right. The Titans might have just fallen asleep last week.
I'm not willing to write them off.
I hate them, too. They've been very
impressive. You know what? I handed it to Maurice Jones-Drew in this game, by the way. Jacksonville, he runs hard. He plays for a crappy team every year.
Yeah.
And Chris Johnson takes 2-3 weeks off at a time. You don't know what you're getting out of him.
See, if I were the Jaguars, I would go the other way and tell Mojo that he has a sprained MCL and he's going to sit these last two out. Go for the draft pick.
Yeah, what good is
it? You basically need to press. You need a mulligan on your quarterback of the future.
What are they at? 4 wins?
Yeah, something like
4-10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in the mix. Very in the mix.
And I think I hate to cross off a rookie quarterback, but I think he's a cross off. Gabbert, he's awful.
Well, he needs a year.
Is that code for something?
I just don't think I don't think you can say he's the quarterback of the future.
No.
It was just a bad draft pick. His sunk cost.
Yeah.
He just wasn't ready. It's a very weird moment in the NFL where rookie quarterbacks are coming in from the draft and playing. 3 out of the 4 this year were successes, and he's the only one. But that really bucks the trend of years and years.
But Christian Ponder wasn't ready either, and at least he looks competent.
But
this guy looks terrifying.
He didn't start game one.
You just said he had the worst receiver. Like, who are these guys for Jacksonville?
All right, fair. I'm probably overreacting. I think it's mostly the hair that turns me off.
I agree with that. The hair is an issue. He needs a haircut.
He's a flat top or something.
Yeah.
It's just, how do you inspire people with that hair?
Yeah, no, you're not going to win like that.
All right.
St. Louis at Pittsburgh, there's no line on this. So, I mean, I thought it would be like 16.5 because they don't know if Roethlisberger is playing even tonight, let alone next week.
Yeah, I had 15.5, but no line.
This could go high. This could go really high.
That could get ugly. Wait, now, Sam Bradford is somebody I would not give up on. I would take how good is Griffin? I don't watch enough college football.
I mean, he's good, but you know that
it's impossible to tell.
He's the new wave of quarterback.
Right.
Got a nice arm and runs around and he could be good.
And he's a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Joe Webb. I do like Joe Webb. Anyway, I was trying
Joe
to get
Webb
them
was a yard away from making this season interesting from the Lions.
When we watched Football Lombardi, if he got a GM job between this season and next season, we were all pushing him on Joe Webb. You weren't there for that.
I missed it.
It's like, Jack, come on. You can throw $59 million to Joe Webb. Come on.
What did he say? He's not into it?
I wasn't that excited about it. It wasn't as fired up as me and Jacoby.
He's keeping it quiet. He knows he likes it. All right, Giants and Jets.
Oh, God.
Big game.
It's a must-win for both teams, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
And both teams are used to playing in that stadium that has no atmosphere whatsoever. They did a really bad job with that stadium.
It really does suck that in this day and age, they both still play in the same place. Like, they built a new stadium, and yet they're both... It reminds you, like, the Giants have come home from college for the holidays, but they can't stay in their old room.
Right.
The little brother's moved his crap in there, so that's the Jets.
It's the bunk bed of stadium.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to hit this exact, Sal. I have Jets by 3.5, and I think that's what it is.
Well, go ahead, House. What do you
think? I say Jets by 3.
House gets it exactly. Simmons and I split. I said 2.5. It's 3.
Huh. I thought the Jets would get an extra half point there.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't even matter.
Based on what?
It's basically a neutral field game.
That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
The Jets are half point better, though.
Here you go. Denver at Buffalo.
Boy, the wheels came off for Buffalo.
They actually kind of came back yesterday.
They were fighting a little bit. Yeah. They were fighting to come back.
I have Denver by 3, unfortunately. I wanted to give them the 3.5, but their defense looked so bad last week, I just couldn't do it.
That's an aberration. I like Denver by 4.
Okay.
Simmons gets it. I said 2.5. It's Denver by 3, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Denver.
Well, how would you not? Is there any way Tebow loses on the eve of Jesus' birthday?
No. No chance whatsoever.
We were talking, we fully expect a monsoon whenever the Bills are on offense and a summer's day paradise when Tebow's under center.
Yeah, I like Denver.
Well, but you did, and I was watching you yesterday because we watched the game. I'm like, how is this guy going to leave a voicemail? I'm keeping my eyes on him. You didn't go to the bathroom once. I'm like, you know, he's not going to be able to call. And then I get home and I get a voicemail from you, a drunk voicemail from in the future, from Saturday night.
Wow. Didn't realize.
It doesn't make any sense, but here we go. Let me just play it for you. Cousin Sal, sports guy here, sipping on some eggnog, the Boston Lager Chaser, getting ready for my boyfriend Tim, twinkle toes, twizz with eyes, tummy tuck, tinsel tonsil Tebow, come home from his trip to Buffalo. Can't wait for him to make it past me under the mistletoe. Of course, knowing him, that pass would probably go astray, right into the fireplace, knock over the Yule log, start a neighborhood fire reminiscent of Mrs. O'Leary's cow. Anyway, my intoxicated state, I was able to put together a little Christmas story for you to listen to. It goes like this.
Oh, God.
"'Twas the night before Christmas in Old Buffalo. Two quarterbacks squared off, and neither of them could throw. There was one from Harvard who robbed the Bills blind, and the other from heaven who pulls wins from his behind. I was listening to... Wait a minute. What is this? What? There's a fat man coming straight for me with a herd of mooses. Is that Tony Siragusa? Chaz Bono? Jessica Simpson? Not Santa and his reindeer. What? He's going to run me over. I'm not ready to die yet. I'm only up to day 37 of 12 days of NBA Christmas block. Help! Bismarck Biyombo! Help!" And that's it. Wow, there was supposed to be sound effects. This laptop.
I don't know what happened there.
Oh, well.
I know
that Bismarck Biyombo did it.
Every time. Oh, boy.
All right.
Some call.
That was a good one.
Like Christmas miracle.
But, wow. Boy, when Jimmy right, Kimmel Live's on break, those phone calls get a lot more complex.
Oh, there. Oh, Jessica Simpson, no!
A little too late. All right. Pitt, Carolina.
Ooh. You know, the Panthers might have been the frisky, lousy, but secretly not that lousy second half team, and I didn't see it.
They're just hard to bet, you know, because you like watching Cam Newton so much, and then you realize their defense isn't that good, and sometimes they just don't get it together.
I just don't think the Buccaneers should be getting less than 7 points against anybody who's even relatively competent at this point. So I'm going to say Panthers by 7 points. What do you think, House?
I totally concur. I'm going to say the Panthers by 8.
Ooh. Wow. Well, I went low on that, and I should have used your reasoning. It was 7. Simmons is right again. Is that 3 in a row, exact?
Oh, that's a good sign for my picks this week. Huh. Usually when I'm close with the spreads, I have good picks.
Yeah, you're up 7-4 against me. This one I picked exactly, though. Arizona at Cincinnati.
So we're going to win our Cam Newton bet, right?
Yeah, we're going to win that one.
We have an outside chance of the Chargers. Somehow we are... I can't get over this Andre Johnson Ocho Cinco bet we had. Sal and I, before the year, I think I've talked about it. Andre, 1.5 touchdowns more than Ocho Cinco. Mm-hmm. And the bet was Ocho Cinco is going to be terrible. There's no way Andre Johnson is going to quintuple his touchdowns. Ocho Cinco has one touchdown right now and he's winning the bet.
Yeah.
Because Andre Johnson has two.
What were the odds
the whole
on that?
Season.
How much did you have to pay?
It was like basically even odds.
Well, you know what we did? I'm looking at it now. We parlayed that. This is how crazy it is. We parlayed that with Big Ben to have 235.5 more passing yards than Michael Vick.
Oh, my God. We won that going away.
That's a win, so.
So if we need Andre Johnson to come back for that Week 17 game and catch, like, a dramatic fourth-quarter touchdown and win that bet, so.
I know. Well, can the NFL suspend Ocho Cinco a touchdown? Can they start taking touchdowns away for, like, a dance or something stupid?
Yeah. They've been saying he's going to come on now for 7 straight weeks.
Great.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
We need Deion Branch to come back is what we need.
Mm.
Arizona to Cincinnati.
Oof. This guy, the Skelton is... Barnwell made a good point today in his column on Grayland. Skelton's like Tebow without the press. All he does is win. He wins ugly, but they win every week. I think he's 5-1 in his last 6.
Yeah, he needs to start believing in somebody.
I have the Bengals by 6, and I think the Cardinals' money line is intriguing, whatever the line ends up being. What do you think, Hass?
I thought exactly 6 for Cincy.
All right, yeah. I picked it exactly right. 4.5 it is.
Oh.
Right in that Vegas.
Wow, Vegas zone.
A lot of respect for Arizona.
That's a little too much respect for Arizona. Because they're a really good home team and not a good road team.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that line.
Has that been
Cincinnati
changing?
Yesterday, they didn't exactly light it up against the Rams.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
They're right in there. Oakland at Kansas City. Here we go.
Whoa.
All right. And just for the record, I did some research yesterday, and there was, I think, less than 9 minutes left when Hugh Jackson eschewed the two-point conversion to kick the PAT to go up by a touchdown and 2 field goals with 8 minutes left. You moron!
Yeah, that's bad.
Go for the 2, Hugh. So
that was awful. We bet that. And this is all you need to know about Simmons with the betting. We easily could have bet before the game. We could have taken the Raiders +3 against the Lions, which was a winner. But no, we wait till halftime when the Lions are down 3 and we get the Raiders +3. Like, oh, all they have to do is win. They look like they're controlling the game. And we sweat it out and we lose by a point. And we lose the bet by a point.
Yeah. It was... Unfortunately for us, not even one of our 55 worst bets of the last 2 years.
Third worst of the week.
Yeah. Chad Schoens, he catches that 3rd-and-2 pass, the game's over, gets overthrown. Not even in our top 55, so.
Well, they changed the rules for this. The loser clinches the division.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah. Oakland and KC, what do you think?
Oh, my God. I have the Chiefs by 1. I think they're barely favored, but I think they're favored. What do you think, Hal?
I was thinking Oakland by 2. Oakland by 2 is what I was thinking.
All right.
You know, I had the Chiefs by 3, and I'm convinced now Simmons is cheating now. It's KC by 1, exactly.
I'm not cheating.
How
I
do you
resent
pull that,
that
out, KC by 1?
Because I figured they'd be barely favored.
That's not even a real line that you picked. Right.
But you know what? They really might have screwed their season by the extra 2 games they paid Palko over Kyle Orton.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Kyle Orton's at least competent.
Yeah, that's what you call Shanahan when you put a guy, you inexplicably stay with a quarterback when there's someone else right there for you.
I like the Chiefs in that game.
Well, I just want Orton and Tebow to mean something week 17. So
that would be fun.
We'll root for the Chiefs.
Be good
I'm rooting for that.
Miami at New England.
The only problem with that scenario is I'd be shocked if Denver lost to Buffalo. Denver has to lose to Buffalo this week for that game
for
to
that
mean anything.
Matter. Yeah. But here's the thing. But if Denver beats Buffalo, the Chargers, who we still have as a bet to win the division, and I'm saying this right now, the Chargers and Eagles look like the class of those divisions, and they're not going to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, they deserve it, though.
Yeah. I guess so. But the Chargers could still be in, I think, if Denver wins.
This year might be the Norviest of all Norv Turner seasons.
It's Norvalicious. What do we got?
Miami and New England.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we should. We're going to be favored by double digits. I'm not sure we should be. Miami's a pretty decent team. I have Pats by 11.
I like them by 10.
10, interesting.
Joe House gets exactly, Simmons and I had 11, so we split that one.
Yeah, that goes up, though. Don't you think that ends at like 11.5?
I'm trying to look at these other ones when Miami was on the road and what they did. But, yeah, I mean, when they went to the Giants, they were about 10 or 11, and they kept it close. Yeah, it'll probably go up. But that's a three-team teaser, right?
Do you think Tony Sperano's got to feel like crap today?
Yeah, probably every day.
Don't, when you get fired, you must just root against your old team so hard. You just must be going crazy hoping they screw up.
You think he feels worse than Haley?
No.
Right. Haley's got to feel the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Chiefs were, I tweeted this yesterday. The Chiefs were just openly, that was a middle finger to Todd Haley game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. They were excited to win that game, to shove it in his face.
All right. Philly at Dallas. Now we're in the late afternoon Christmas Eve game.
Oh.
So wait, what's the best early game then?
Giants-Jets, I think. I mean, they both got slaughtered last week. And Denver-Buffalo is a fun one to watch because it might be in the snow.
Two good ones.
I'd like to predict snow for the Denver-Buffalo game.
That'd be great.
Tebow needs to play once in the snow. He just needs it. It has to happen. Cowboys-Eagles.
Terrified of this. Terrified already.
It's either 3.5 or 4, and I'm going to say Cowboys by 4. What do you think?
Go out.
I think less. I like them by 2.
Oh,
Joe House has figured this game out, and it didn't take long. It took me 6 years. I still don't have it. Simmons and I said four. It's 2.5.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. All year, they've added a point and a half to the Cowboys spread, especially when they're at home.
Are they even more
nervous.
They're saying that Philly's better than Dallas, then, with that line.
Yeah.
Because you get 3 points for being at home.
And I like to see them say it to my face. So I guess
they did. They totally did.
I won't say it because I eat your sausage sub, but I like Philly in this.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Stop with this Philly resurgence. I can't handle it. The poor Philly fans.
Well, like, why should Andy Reid get fired? If, like, you think he should get fired after this if they go 8-8?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. But the Philly fans thought they were done with this team when they choked on that Thursday night against Seattle.
Yeah.
The Philly fans were like, oh, this is cool. Well, all right, we'll start thinking about the Sixers and the Flyers. Maybe start getting excited for Phillies next April. They were just done. And now they've been roped back in. It's kind of tragic.
Well, I just don't know if it's Andy Reid's fault. You got a quarterback who was out. It was an elite quarterback. Yeah, DeSean Jackson didn't even try for the first 11 games.
And, you just want Andy Reid to stick around so you can see how much fatter he's going to get over the next 4 years.
Look, I need someone to make horrible calls inside 2 minutes along with Jason Garrett.
Yeah, that's true.
San Diego at Detroit.
Ooh. San Diego at Detroit. That's a nice game. Those are two good games. I don't like this Lions team at all, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I like San Diego. I'm going to say Lions by 2.5. I can't give them the 3.
I'm just going to say Lions by 3.
Okay.
All right. Joe House says 3. I said 4. I went high on that one. I think I picked it before yesterday's game, but whatever. It is 2.5, Simmons. You got it again. I think that's your fifth. You picked exactly.
That's fair. I mean, they're a smidge better than the Lions.
I love the Chargers here.
The Lions' backfield, the secondary. If Carson Palmer, he even looked pretty good yesterday, but any good quarterback should be able to rip him up.
The Lions are going to crash one of these playoff games, and it's going to be bad. And we're going to be right there for it.
Are we sure we haven't gotten rid of the Lions yet? They play the Packers week 17.
What do you mean, rid of them?
Well, they haven't really completely clinched that playoff spot.
No, they haven't, but the Packers are going to sit everybody. They'll have no once they beat the Bears Monday night, they'll have no reason at all.
Hey, you know what's funny? I still don't trust the Lions, even against Green Bay's second string.
Really?
Yeah, I don't try. I don't think there's anything to trust about that team. And even yesterday, they got really lucky because that guy catches that 3rd-and-2, the game's over.
They've been lucky all season. And then
super lucky.
Well, the Calvin Johnson receptions at the end of the game.
Well, why do teams play him differently? Like
I don't know.
I mean, we were saying like he's the Tim Tebow of wide receivers, and he's very talented.
Yeah.
But he gets open a lot more in the fourth quarter than in the first quarter.
Well, the other thing with the Lions, that had to have been like the seventh game this year where they're down double digits in the late third or fourth quarter or something. Like that's just that's a sign that you don't have a good football team.
They've done it 4 times this year.
They've done it 4 times, but they've also been blown out like 3 other times. So.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're good. I could totally see them losing the last two.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got a break with Green Bay, but that'd be nice. That would open things up a little bit. And then San Fran at Seattle, the last late. All those late afternoon games are good, all three of them, I think.
Yeah, this San Fran Seattle is a nice one.
I think it'll still mean something for Seattle no matter what happens. I'm trying to look at these early games.
I got to be honest. I really like Seattle in this game. I guess we'll know more about the Niners tonight, but I think the Seahawks are a pretty good football team, though.
Yeah.
And that home field's going to be great. I would have said like 2 weeks ago this was easily over 3, but I actually think it's less than 3. I'm going to say the 49ers by 2.5 points in Seattle.
Wow.
That's my pick.
I'm going to say the 49ers by 5.
Yeah, I went right between you guys. I said 4, and it's 3. So Simmons gets that.
He's
going to win the week. Blah, blah, blah. The whole thing. Yeah. I don't know. I still give San Fran the edge there. But they could be – if they lose tonight and then, you know, toss-up game against Seattle, that's a nice spot for the 6 seed to jump in.
Yeah, I do feel like, would you say Seattle is one of the best 12 football teams right now?
Yeah, I don't really understand how they won yesterday. Like, Marshawn Lynch, didn't he have like 40 yards rushing? Like, if you break it down, I'm not sure how
they won because Caleb Haney rolled out and there was a guy there and he panicked and just threw it right to a defensive lineman and ran it for a touchdown and the entire Bears team just gave up.
Mm.
It was one of the worst quarterback plays of all time. It single-handedly killed their game.
How about the fact that two NFC West, there's a chance that two NFC West teams will make the playoffs, and we had the Rams. We had one of the four teams, and we weren't even close. We had the Rams to win the division.
We picked the Rams. That was our big bet.
Yeah.
Multiple $1,000s on that bet.
We're killed. $8, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Sunday, Chicago at Green Bay, Christmas Day.
Oof. Green Bay technically still has something to play for because they haven't wrapped up the one seed yet, correct?
Right, that's right.
I am going to say the Packers by 15.5 points over Chicago.
Joe House.
I'm going to say a nice clean 14.
All right, I said Joe House is closest. I said 14.5. It's only 13.
Hmm.
That's a little low.
Who's the quarterback for Chicago?
Look, you can't blame Caleb Haney. Usually when you're in trouble and you throw it as hard as you can at the fattest guy in the other team's head, it's a good plan. It's not usually run back for a touchdown.
Grantland's Robert Baby Bear Mays, who we watched football with yesterday, he said he's a lifelong Bears fan. He said Caleb Haney is now the worst Bears quarterback of all time.
Wow.
Of his lifetime. And if you go through the history of the Bears, there's been some bad ones.
Tom Zach, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They had a little washed-up Eric Kramer in there. They had a little washed-up Todd Collins.
Who am I? Vince something. Who am I?
They had Kyle Wharton. They had Brian Greasy when he was washed up. Like, they've had some bad ones. He said, hands down, Caleb Haney's the worst.
Wow. And he was so good in that playoff game. What a fluke.
I know.
Stupid. And then Monday night, Atlanta at New Orleans.
Nice game.
Good one.
I think the Falcons are frauds. I think they beat up bad teams, and against any good team, they lose. I do kind of like this matchup for them, though.
Hmm.
Why?
Don't these teams last year on the
they always play close.
Yeah.
I might be remembering this totally incorrectly, but I always thought these games were like kind of close, frisky, weird stuff happened. But I have the Saints giving 7, and I kind of sort of like the Falcons a little bit.
All right.
I feel like it's less than that. I think it's going to be, I think it's another Vegas on. I think it's 5.
Hmm. All right.
Well, it's 7, and Simmons and I called it. It was 7,
okay.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's, what are we doing on a teaser? You don't want New Orleans on a teaser? I thought that would be easy for us.
I think we can't put the Panthers on a teaser, right?
Oh.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Josh Freeman looks like he's playing with like a broken collarbone or something. Did he throw a pass for more than 10 yards in that game?
Hey, that's your old boyfriend. I know.
I don't mean to piss on my old boyfriend, but seriously, though, did he throw a pass for longer than 12 yards in that game?
No.
I think he's like hurt. I think we're going to find out he's had like a torn rotator cuff the whole season or something.
He probably is.
And they're going to fire that coach.
Here's what's easy. Baltimore -4.5 over Cleveland. Pittsburgh -5.5 over St. Louis. And the Pats pick them against Miami.
Oh, no. A three-teamer?
Lock it up. Holiday tease.
Stop.
Christmas miracle money.
All right. Cousin Sal. So Jimmy Kimmel Live on break the next 2 weeks. We do have your Grantland gambling blog that runs every Thursday with your favorite prop picks.
That's right. I did well this week, except I picked the Patriots to score first. And how do I lose that? But they kill them. It just didn't make sense. But tonight I like total sacks by both teams over 5.5. And Mendenhall 7-1 for first touchdown. Jump on that.
Excellent.
How many Germajesties?
Germajesties.
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 Those Germajesties, boy, your sausage and pepper sandwich. Don't laugh.
The cousin. We will talk to you after the holidays. Have a good holiday, my friend.
Good time.
Good time, cousin.
Good job by you, Sal.
Good job by you.
All right.
Target the sun off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.